Let's pray. Lord, as we hear your word, we pray that you might open our ears. Help us, Lord, to hear what you have for us today, to be attentive to the working of your Spirit in our lives. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas Day is here again. And few days in the year are the focus of time and preparation in the way this day is. Think about timing and preparation and all that goes in to this particular day. There is the timing, of course, of buying all the presents. Some have more advanced timing than others on such matters, but it's all a matter of timing. Once you've got the presents, then, of course, you've got to wrap them all, get them prepared to give. Then there's a time to get the tree, to place the presents under the tree. Then, of course, the joyous time to exchange those gifts, to enjoy the gifts, and to enjoy one another. There's also, of course, the time to shop for food, the time to prepare the food, the time to cook, the time to set the table, the time to sit down and eat. There's a time to visit family and friends, the time to relax, the time to come and worship. So much focus on time and timing on Christmas Day. Now, for those who are particularly curious, there is, of course, also the question, is this the right day? I mean, are we really doing this on the right day? Was Jesus really born on December 25th? Well, thousands of years ago, they used a different calendar, and they set months by the phases of the moon. A system, of course, that wreaks havoc with us later human beings who like to have everything well laid out and everything following in proper order. You see, the moon cycles every 28 days. And so over the years, not accounting for those extra days, you would find that before long you would have snow falling in July and you would have summertime in December and everything would get shifted around if you're following the lunar calendar. But leaving that confusion aside, we know that early on, Christians decided to celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th, likely because that day had already been set aside. It had been associated for many years with the rebirth of various solar deities. And as early Christians were often wont to do, they wanted to take something and they wanted to infuse it with new meaning and bring to it a new understanding of who God is. And so they decided to celebrate the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, on December 25th. Now, when you review the details that we have in the Bible, particularly the oft-read passage in Luke chapter 2, we know that Jesus was born at the time in Bethlehem when sheep would be grazing out in their pastures. And in Bethlehem, that time is not actually December. It's generally from April to November. So we may not actually have the day right, but that's not all that significant. It's a day that we've chosen to celebrate the coming of Jesus. And I raise the question of timing this morning only because the matter of timing comes from our text in Galatians chapter 4. See, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Christians in the region of Galatia, wrote these words. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son born of a woman, says the New Testament version. Others put it differently, but to the same effect. The New Living Translation says, but when the right time came. Eugene Peterson in The Message says, but when the time arrived that was set by God. The New Revised Standard Version uses the older, perhaps more familiar words, but when the fullness of time had come. One thing is very clear, that the coming of Jesus that we celebrate today was no accident. It was no last-minute change of plans. It was the time that God determined. December 25th or not, it was the time, the moment in history that God had determined to come to earth in Jesus Christ. And of course, If that's so, it means that time is not a random force that we so often think of in that way. You see, time is governed by God. There are no accidents, no unexpected delays, no rushing madly to meet a deadline. No, God is in control. God determined the time. What does this mean? Well, let's start with a little background here. In the fullness of time, the text says. That means that when God's plan for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus, was complete, when the environment was set and every detail was in place, then and only then God came to earth in Jesus Christ. He arranged every circumstance in a way that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ would be perfectly timed. It was the fullness of time. And that fullness of time, in a sense, began in the Garden of Eden. It began really with the disobedience of Adam and Eve, whose disobedience required God to come to earth. In response to Satan's deceiving them, God said to Satan, "You will strike his heel," speaking of the coming Messiah, who is Jesus. But God also said to Satan about Eve that her seed would crush his head. He would destroy Satan. And right there is the coming of the promise of the Messiah, right in the Garden of Eden. The preparation was a national preparation. God worked through a variety of human beings. He revealed himself to a particular person of a particular race. He spoke to Abraham. God promised him that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. From Abraham came those who would ultimately become the nation of Israel. And that nation, of course, spent years as slaves in Egypt. What was God doing there? God was bringing about the fullness of time. When they came out of Egypt, they came out as a nation. And he took them over to Mount Sinai, where he gave them the Ten Commands. He gave them a law to live by because he wanted them to be a very exceptional, to be a special people, to be a people set apart. They were God's chosen people. And as God sent them into the promised land, they fought often, they disobeyed God, they rebelled against God. We see that again and again throughout the course of Old Testament history. They disobeyed him. They were punished for it. And finally, because of their unfaithfulness and disobedience, God allowed the Babylonians to invade that land that God had promised to them and to drag them off captive, to drive them out of the land, deport them to Babylon. But God was committed to the fullness of time. God was overseeing and providentially guiding his work and his plan for the coming of Jesus, even in this event. While they were in Babylon, the people repented and they turned again to worship the one true God. And then God turned the heart of a foreign king to permit them to return to the promised land. A king who knew nothing of God. God turned his heart to allow his people to return. So Ezra and Nehemiah came back to Jerusalem. They repaired the walls and the gates and they rebuilt the city. Also at that time, they brought together scriptures and prophecies forming the Old Testament. And the Old Testament lays the foundation for the coming of the gospel. Down through the centuries, the Old Testament was taught and people learned there about the living God. God did all of this work in preparation. But God was also preparing culturally for the coming of Jesus. In about 350 BC, Alexander the Great came on the scene. Now, his goal was to conquer the world and to spread Greek culture to the ends of the earth. In the process of doing so, of course, there had to be a language that all of the Greek soldiers could easily understand. Koine Greek was the common man's Greek. And so Koine Greek became the language that was used and generally known by everyone, not only just in the small country of Greece, but well beyond Greece as well. And Greek culture, in a sense similar to American culture today, began to break down barriers. Everybody was adopting Greek culture, doing what the Greeks did. And so it laid a common foundation, cultural foundation, that people who maybe for generations and generations really didn't know anything about other people, they all of a sudden now began to be able to communicate together and to exchange across cultures. Through the Greek culture, you see, God established a platform. There was a common language, there was good roads, there was a good communication system. God was using people to accomplish his awesome purpose in the fullness of time. Now, the Romans followed the Greeks, and it was into the Roman world that Jesus came. Communication was excellent. The Romans built even more roads from all the major cities for both trade and conquest. They controlled the seas. People had individual rights by the laws of Rome. People could teach and preach their religion freely because they were protected by Roman law. All of this is a preparation. What was God doing in it? He was preparing for the birth of his son. God was preparing a time when the gospel could be preached and people could travel freely and take the good news of Jesus with them. All of these things in preparation. In addition to good communication and a common language, the Old Testament itself was translated into Greek at about 280 BC. So that all people who understood Greek, and remember that was many more than just the people in this small country, everybody who understood Greek could also now read the Old Testament and learn about God. During those days, there were also the beginnings of spiritual preparation. God allowed the philosophers to question whether the popular gods really were powerful and whether they made any difference at all. More and more questioning was happening on the spiritual scene. There was a growing spiritual hunger. What was God doing? He was developing a hunger so that people would be ready to receive the true message of the gospel. But let's consider for a moment the environment in which this historical time, the birth of Jesus, came. Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth. But when Caesar called for a tax and a census throughout his entire regime, throughout the entire empire, everyone had to go to their place of origin. This meant that Mary and Joseph had to leave Nazareth and go all the way to Bethlehem. God was arranging the circumstances. You see, in 750 BC, the prophet Micah had said that the Redeemer would come, that the Lord Jesus would be born in the town of Bethlehem. It's no accident that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. As prophesied by Micah, as arranged by the living and overruled by the living God. You see, God kept his promise. In Bethlehem, God's one and only Son was born, not in a palace, but in a humble place, in a stable with sheep and cattle. Mary brought to birth the Son of God in fulfillment of the promise of God, prophesied by the prophets exactly as God had said. The right time, the right place. He was born into humble circumstances, identifying with the average person. He was the Lamb of God, as John identifies him later in his gospel. Lambs dwell with cattle and sheep in a barn. That is where Christ was born. You see, every detail was perfect. He was not a day early, nor a day late, but right on time. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. As the Apostle Paul makes clear in our text this morning, the time was right spiritually for the coming of Jesus. You see, the people who loved and served God up until this time did so under the law. The law had come to be an onerous set of rules that governed life for the Jews and for the Gentiles who believed in God. The story of the Old Testament makes very clear that it's impossible to keep the law of God by human effort. We know this today, and I know it from my own experience. I cannot keep all the commands of God. I'm constantly failing, just as the people of Israel constantly failed to keep the law. And we see that as we read through Old Testament history. And yet all humanity is born under the law. That's why Paul says that Jesus was born under the law. He was human. So all humans are under law. Now, some religions go to elaborate lengths to outline various laws that must be obeyed. And sad to say, even Christians do this, making up all sorts of laws about when to worship, what to wear, when to pray, where to gather for worship, and so on and so on. But in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus to redeem all of those born under the law. That is us. God sent Jesus to redeem, that is, to purchase us from bondage to the law and make us no longer slaves, but children of God, free to relate to Him, free to worship, free to serve Him. The time is right. God has fulfilled all the prophecies. He has given humanity more than ample opportunity to discover that the law cannot save us. And when all those preparations were complete, God sent His Son. God sent His Son. Jesus was sent by the Father. That very word sent indicates that Jesus was somewhere before, and He was sent from there to here. I mean, if He didn't exist before, He wouldn't have been sent. He would have just come. But no, the Father sent Him. You see, Jesus' life did not begin at Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. The Bible says that He existed with God from the beginning of time. And at the right time, God sent Him to earth. Jesus was sent. That means also that He didn't come of His own accord. He didn't sort of just slip out of heaven without the Father noticing. No, He was sent. Jesus came with the full authority of God to do what God sent Him to do. What was that work? It was to redeem humanity and to bring us fully into the family of God as His children and heirs. Jesus makes it possible for us to have a living, loving relationship with God, just as Adam and Eve first enjoyed before they sinned. The time was right. God prepared from the beginning of time for Jesus to come to Bethlehem over 2,000 years ago. He fulfilled all the prophecies and all the promises of Scripture about His coming. At the right time, God came. The right time, the fullness of time. What about you? Is today the right time for you to receive this wonderful gift that God offers to us in Jesus? God desires that you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, if you've not already done so. The time is right. Perhaps this morning you realize that you're living life to please yourself or to please others who have ideas about what a religious life or what a Christian life should really be like. Jesus came to set you free from religion so that you can enjoy relationship with God. Jesus came to set you free from bondage to your own desires. He came to set you, to bring you from slavery to sonship. He came to make you right with God. God has prepared everything for you. He has done the work through His Son Jesus, whose coming we celebrate today. The time is right to receive what God offers to you this Christmas, the gift of His Son. The familiar carol, Joy to the World, puts it well. Let every heart prepare Him room. God prepared from eternity for the event that we celebrate today. Will you prepare by cleaning your heart of all other loyalties and naming Jesus as your Lord? Is today the fullness of time for you? The time is right. The time is now. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank You that this morning we celebrate, throughout this day we celebrate, as we have through the season of Advent, looked forward to the coming of Jesus. Today we celebrate that coming. We know, Lord God, that You prepared everything, that this was the perfect time, the right time for Jesus to come. Thank You, O God, that You have come for us, that You've come to set us free, that You've come to bring us into Your family, to make us right with You through the work of Your Son, Jesus, who's dying on the cross, brings us new life, who has paid the penalty for our sin so that we can be adopted as children of the living God. Praise be to You, O God, for Your amazing gift to us of Jesus. Help us this day in celebrating His coming to prepare our hearts to receive Him as Lord and Savior. So, O God, may You work mightily in us by the power of Your Spirit, that we might have new life in Christ on this Christmas day. For in Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Let's join in singing our concluding hymn, number 120, O Come, All Ye Faithful.